Well, hello and welcome back to season two of How I Got Through It. I hope you guys had an amazing summer and are ready for all that fall has to offer. I love fall because I feel like it's such a re-evaluating time for me. That's really why I wanted to start off the first episode of season two with Jason. Jason Salzman is an entrepreneur that has had some really big wins in his career. He founded companies like Ally, which is now powered by Verizon, and Relief, which just raised $17 million this year. You hear all of that and you think, I just wish I could be succeeding in life like that. But what you don't know is that before he had all of those wins, he had 20 plus startups that failed. Because we're a show that talks about getting through the hard things in life, I talked to him specifically about failure. How did he keep going after the constant failure and getting back up? What lessons can we learn from failure, and why taking care of your mental health is the most important thing through this process? If you own a business, you'll like this episode. But if you're a person that is just trying to get through the ups and downs of life, you'll love this one. I give you my interview with my dear friend, Jason Salzman. Jason, welcome to How I Got Through It. It is so great to see you and connect again, especially after COVID. First of all, how are you doing?
I'm doing as well as everybody else can do, given that we just got out of some crazy ass times and starting to feel even better because it seems like it's subsiding. Great to see you. Great to be here. Excited to talk to you and catch up.
I know that you started your entrepreneurship journey by doing what I would call heavy negotiations and making deals for candy in elementary school. And I know you've talked about that story. Did you always think that your path was clear to becoming an entrepreneur? I know that you started when you were 17. So did you have aspirations to get a job? Were you toying around with that in your head?
No, I think that it's a combination of just going with the flow. But when you're younger, you're sort of like riddled with all these questions on where my career is going to go. If you listen to sort of like the outside world and your parents and things like that, it can get really stressful because it's almost like you have to have a plan. I sort of was the antithesis of that because I found myself just doing the things that were put in front of my face. And I was a big sampler when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I sampled this, I sampled that, especially in careers. I think I went through 50 lives of different types of careers. I think you sort of lean into what feels good and what feels right. And I think that that propelled my journey into this specific direction, not ultimately feeling good, an all-encompassing great feeling like, oh, this feels like euphoria. I mean, it's a huge pain in the ass and there is massive ups and downs to being self-employed. I think the reward and how your soul feels after you accomplish something is special when you pay attention to it.
Let's kind of hone into that, you know, the highs and the lows that's associated with that and the wins and the losses. I know that you've talked about starting 20 companies and them not all being successful and you going through that journey. Can you talk a little bit about that specifically? What was going through your mind when your first company failed?
Well, looking back, it's easy to say that that's just the way this journey works.
Yeah.
It works like a lab.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get the formula right away. So you have to keep trying and measuring different things. And you start to, as you mature, see failures as something different, more so of lessons to do things properly rather than I stop here and die.
Yeah.
This idea dies. But that doesn't mean that when I was younger and I built my first company that I didn't put my all into it and with blood, sweat, and tears to think that it was going to be amazing. Actually, when it started to fail and all of the failures felt like horrible blows to my ego, to everything around me that I just, what am I doing wrong? What am I, you know, it was very debasing along the way.
Right.
But as you get older, you know, you do learn that this is part of the process. I mean, maturity is amazing. You know, it's like, it's a very balancing feeling, you know, and ultimately I feel like it's okay if you're out there trying something new and you're not getting what you want out of it, because underneath the roots of what you're growing and what you're trying to do, that is growing. That right. pain that you're going through, that feeling of, I'm not going to be able to pull this off, or the doubt and you overcoming that, mm-hmm. you know, is part of the process, and you are building something. You're building yourself, and you're positioning yourself properly for when you do get it right, you're going to know it. You're going to be that much better at it.
Right. That's an interesting way to look at it too, that whether you choose to see it or not, something is growing. It might not be that your company's scaling, but it might be that underneath the roots, something in you is growing at that time. So I'm kind of curious about like resilience and endurance. When you're experiencing constant failure like that, how do you pick yourself back up? How do you get back up, get into the ring? In your case, 20 plus times.
I think we could question how, but I think more so it's looking at everyone that has reached a level of success that inspires you, and thinking about the traits that they have in common. Mm-hmm. And the one trait that successful people have in common is that despite everything that's happened to them along the way,
yeah,
they kept going, right?
Right.
And I think that if you want to be successful and you want to be in the entrepreneurial journey, then you have to come to peace with that. You have to come to peace with many entrepreneurs don't make an impact or make money until they're much older, right? And that does two things. It grounds you in reality, but it also fundamentally prepares your mindset for not taking the failures so deeply rooted, and to let those failures overcome you with fear of moving forward, right?
Yeah.
There is no magic bullet when you first start that it's like, oh, the number of startups that I've seen successful to the point where they either exited successfully or went public, they've never been an overnight success, right? They're right. saying that it took me 10 years to look like an overnight success is very relevant in the startup ecosystem, because it really does take a long time. And then at the end of the day, it's going to look like you did it overnight. Yeah. Everyone's going to celebrate you and give you glories. And the one saying that bothers me the most when I hear it either being said to me or one of my successful friends or counterparts is, must be nice, right? Must be nice. And it's like, no, it was not nice.
Yeah. Right?
It was hard.
Yeah. Did you experience that with Ali? Did people think that you were overnight success when that mm-hmm. became tremendously successful?
Absolutely. I was very young to own a company that had so much liability in real estate. At our peak, we had close to 400,000 square feet of real estate that we were working with and managing for startup ecosystem. Mm-hmm. And I felt like when I met somebody that was a little older, they looked at my, you know, 30 something age and was like, are you sure you did this, or my tattoos? You know, like,
right.
You don't look responsible. That's the feeling that I got. You know, but that's going to happen. And you know what? I wear that shit like a badge of honor.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. That's the one thing I can say about you. You are who you are. I remember the first time you took me to show me Ali, on the door, it said, don't enter if you're an asshole or something. Like, and actually check me. I'm like, am I an asshole? Like, you know, it really makes you check yourself. And now that's so relevant today with everything going on in the world. So when you're at the peak during that time, I know that the journey of entrepreneurship, the highs are high and the lows are low. And sometimes it switches overnight. You know, you can have a really great day one day and then the next day's complete shit. Thinking about that and thinking about mental health, how do you navigate that?
Yeah, obviously I'm going to tell you from my experience, because yeah. I don't want to not be empathetic to somebody that might be listening that has a deeper level of issue than I've had, right? Yeah. Everything is measured based on your sort of own personal experiences. So for me, what's been a challenge is when you have a million things going on and you have to sort of like look super confident along the way. And when you suffer from anxiety, you know, at any given moment, right? It could be like nothing really that you can pinpoint could trigger someone who has like general anxiety disorder. It could just start as super nervous feelings and you could start to sweat, right? Mm-hmm. And it has nothing to do with the meeting that you're in or the person that you're meeting. It's just, you know, your body chemistry, right?
Right.
And so navigating times like that can get extremely challenging, especially when you have to do things like raise money and you have to perform and you have to build a team and you have to look like a leader. So the best way that I've known how to navigate those circumstances is just to be real with what's going on. I found like when you're upfront,
yeah,
when you're bold, uh-huh, people respect that. It's when they don't know what's going on that people come to conclusions that something else is amiss, right?
Right.
Just imagine I'm in a meeting with you and I start sweating profusely.
Right. You're on what's drugs or something.
Exactly. Like, but I'm having a little bit of an anxiety attack and I have to calm myself down. It has nothing to do with you. It's not situational. It's my body. It's my reaction to it. So I've literally stopped meetings before and said, you know, I know I look crazy right now, but in reality, I have anxiety. It has nothing to do with you, but let's just move on. Because when I get into the art of dealing with the beauty of the conversation that we're having, mm-hmm, it eases my anxiety. It makes me think less about it. When you can train your anxiety to me more of an intermission rather, mm-hmm, than the whole movie, mm-hmm, then you're looking at it in the right direction and you could sort of get into the moment that you're in right now.
Yeah. I feel like I hear you saying also you're telling the truth about what's happening on the inside of you. That's a very vulnerable space to be in, especially if you're in a meeting with an investor or something else. What advice then would you give to entrepreneurs about showing their real selves or having their insides match their outsides in a way?
You know, I had a really big investor come to me and we were in the middle of a deal and I started getting like super nervous and I was, mm-hmm, like, hey, I'm like, pardon me if you think on the outside I'm acting weird. I just have anxiety sometimes. It has nothing to do with the situation. I said that and he's like, holy shit, like I have that.
Yeah.
Like I've never heard somebody experience. And our relationship solidified, mm-hmm, around being authentic.
Yeah.
And I think that whatever you could do to increase authenticity in a relationship is going to put that relationship onto a special platform.
Yeah.
And I'm all for, if they don't respect you for who you really are, you shouldn't be doing business with them in the first place. I think, mm-hmm, that's what mimics life and business, right?
Right.
You want to bring people around you that respect you for who you really are, people that you don't have to put on this fake self and be like somebody else. You need to feel comfortable to be vulnerable. And sometimes we're so quick to blame ourselves for being that fake person, but ultimately you have to look outside. Like, is this person making me feel comfortable? Is this, right, person like judging me? Cause I don't, right, like that. And if you want to grow a business and you want to have good investors around you, not only do you have to share the mission and vision of the company, they should know who you really are. So you could speak to them on a very authentic level so you can get over the big stuff.
Yeah.
That's not gonna happen.
Yeah. And I think there's something to be said too about you showing up as your authentic self, your real self, that almost forces other people to also show up as their authentic and real self. And if they don't, then that's a space that you get to see the person that you're choosing to be in business with.
100%. Because I've done it wrong.
Yeah.
Right. Part of maturity is looking back and being like, all right, well, how did I get here? You know, we all want to blame everybody else for our problems. It's human nature,
yeah,
to sort of like not look inside yourself. Right.
Yeah.
But I love to take a pause and say like, okay, this is not where I want to be. Like, how did I get here? Like, what did I do wrong? 9 times out of 10, it's because I didn't let my guard down. It's, mm-hmm, because I didn't just be authentic in my words and vernacular. And time after time, I'm always noticing that over time, looking back, the best things in my life that ever happened to me is when I was 100% authentic. I think that the biggest lesson that I've learned over the last 10 years is that you can't be so hard on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You have to really understand that life is a series. Like every day you can learn something new. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the process of learning could be very painful, right? Whether you went for an investment and didn't work, whether you put all your money into a startup and it failed, or whether in life, you know, relationships didn't work out the way you thought they would. You know, if you look underneath the core of those outcomes, that not all of them are going to be great, right? So I think the biggest lesson is you have to give yourself some leeway. If you were to just analyze the way you treat yourself and ask yourself, if you treated other people the way you treat yourself, would you be friends with yourself? And for most people, it would be no, right? It would be, you know, then your negative thoughts that circle in your head. But if you were to take the time to be kind to yourself, the way you'd be kind to others, you would be changing the world around you, right? You would give you more energy. You'd be able to navigate through situations properly. Ultimately, it really comes down to the way we treat ourselves. I always tell myself, like, all right, I can melt in this situation and I could be so negative on myself, but how is that going to teach me to not have this happen again? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think that's a lesson that I learned. I've been, you know, spending the last year traveling, and how I treat myself in different situations and scenarios has come across time and time again for me. And it has really taught me, I think the pandemic has really taught me to what I think and the input and the data that I'm taking in on a daily basis is really important to how productive my day is, the mood that I'm in, how I also treat my friends and my family members as well. That is the thing that kind of predicts the way that my day is going to go also. The chatter in between the situations, the chatter in between the moment, you know? I realized a couple months ago, if someone came up to me and talked to me the way that I talk to myself, I would be like, get the hell away from me, you know?
Right. It's so crazy, but it's just, it's a consequence of really looking inside yourself. And we need to do that more often.
Right. Exactly. Now that I feel like I've heard your journey, it feels like it's actually come full cycle in a way, because you started out with credit card debt and now here we are. What is the one thing that you think, if you could give entrepreneurs advice of your entire journey, what is the one thing that you know now that you wish you knew then?
Well, number one, as I alluded to earlier, you have to be kinder to yourself.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You're not going to do yourself any good by being mean to the one person that you're going to be with for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So be super nice. Go that extra mile to be super nice. And two, you know, regardless of the stress of the situation, realize that you're on a journey, right? Yeah. And that situation that you're in right now is not going to define you, nor is the outcome, right? The journey will define you, and you should pay more attention to now than what either you're looking to do, the future or the past itself, right? Because ultimately, if you look at everything that's happened to you or that's going to happen to you as a lesson, the better you become at picking up these lessons and adopting them, I think the more chances of success will ultimately fall in your lap.
Right. And I guess you're saying to the narrative like that you have in your head, right? Like looking at it as a lesson versus an issue or a problem.
Yes. Agreed.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time today to answer these questions, to be on the podcast. Thanks.
If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. I'll see you guys next week.